Who gave me permission to do this?
Oh my God.
Sometimes we're gonna laugh and sometimes we're gonna cry. That's just the way it goes.
If you're ready to change the narrative, shift your consciousness, you are in the right place. Welcome to the Jackie Minsky Show.
Hello, hello, and thank you so much for tuning into the Jackie Minsky Show. If you are new, thank you so much for tuning in. And if you're with me for a while, thank you so much for coming back. Ooh, this mic is so loud. I really loved today's episode so, so very much because, you know, when we talk about manifestation, a lot of the times we talk about techniques and we forget about the frequency, the energy, and the decisions that we have and that we play in the co-creation. Paige Michelle is someone who really embodies manifestation. She has manifested so much in her life, and it's just been an honor to follow her all these years, and now it's an honor to have her here on my show. Paige and I discussed something that is super, super important, and I want to just touch up on it briefly, and you'll hear it throughout this interview, but I really felt like diving into it. It's called a sacred container. A sacred container is pretty much you creating your life and this energy around you with pure intention that the right person will step in. Now, something I've also learned is when the person does enter, what starts to really happen is you start to inspire each other. You start to have this dance of energy. And the more intentional you are with your decision, the more you kind of start to mirror each other. And when I say decision, I want to be very clear, and Paige dives into this. You know, she made a decision. Her decision helped, you know, bring up her divine masculine's manifestation, help co-create, because she was part of the manifestation, which is beautiful and interesting. Because if you ever hear of conscious couples, what happens is when they both come into union with their decision for each other, they start manifesting quicker. And it's just a beautiful exchange of, I choose you, I see you, I honor you. I honor you, right? And I honor us for what we are co-creating together, separately in our containers, and then in our one big container. Well, I hope that made sense. But I really love this episode. As always, Paige, it's an honor to learn from you. It's been an honor following you. And to you guys, if you have not yet, please, I am asking coyly, from one manifester to another, if you can leave me a review and a rating, it would mean so, so much to me as the show is growing. With that being said, I love you guys. Mwah. I have a really great guest on today's show, someone I've been a personal fan of for a while now, Paige Michelle. She is the queen. I'm saying it right here, the queen of human design. She's been doing it before, I think, anyone. She is a life and business strategist, an investor, a mom of two, and the queen mother at Undefined. Welcome, Paige, to the Jackie Minsky Show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I've been following you for some time, and I met you, interestingly enough, when you were doing the Fuckboy Reform School.
Yeah.
Like all the way back there. And then we connected on Clubhouse. We did human design there. But yeah. I'd love to get to know what really inspired you, Paige, to start with human design. How'd you get involved with it? Let's go back to the start before. And how did you get into all this?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't into really any of the metaphysical stuff until later on in my business. I started my business when I was like 24. And I was working at a law firm. I had no college degree. I'd like been waitressing my whole life because I couldn't like hold a job, just unemployable and irreverent. Didn't like being told what to do, like to party. That was my priority. So, after just literally hitting rock bottom, I became a paralegal, and instead of, I needed a way to an outlet, like a creative outlet. So I started blogging. That led to a social media business, which led to like sales funnels and paid media. And then that led to Human Design. So essentially I built my company up to 6 figures in 6 months, and I was exhausted. I was, had just had a baby. My marriage was falling apart. I was actually miserable. And as somebody that grew up with no money really, and having so much anxiety around money, my mom was constantly like upset and crying around about money. They worked at a factory on the line for 35 years. So we just never, it didn't matter how hard you worked, we just didn't ever have enough money. So I was of the belief that if I just had money, then literally every other problem would disappear. And so I made it my, you know, my priority to make money. So here I am making $100,000 or $10,000 a month. Well, more than that. And I was miserable. So I was at a mastermind and I was on the hot seat. I was like the last one to go. And I had my arms crossed and I just was so shut down and unavailable. And essentially what came of it was, it wasn't worth it for me to be, what I valued was freedom, and I was not feeling free. And so I burnt that business completely to the ground and didn't know what I was going to do, honestly, when I got back from Maryland. And so that same day, somebody asked me if I knew my son's Human Design, and I was like, what is Human Design? And so once I got my Human Design told to me, interestingly enough, I've never had a reading, but she told me what it was. And I was like, oh my gosh, all of my life makes sense. And all the, like everything that makes me different makes sense. Everything that, that people told me I was, that made me bad or wrong, was perfect. And I just decided to incorporate that into my business. And I just like, it opened up the door spirituality wise for me. And that's kind of how I started it. And that was back in 2015. I saw how it would make sense for businesses for sure, because, you know, CEOs would have the exact same business on paper, but one would be getting a result and the other one wouldn't. And I knew it was their mindset. I knew it was their physiology. I knew it was their spirit, that was like completely crushed, and their, you know, their self-concept and all those things. So I dove into that, and you couldn't work with me unless you let me factor in your Human Design. And that was like unheard of back then. Nobody was really talking about mindset, but definitely nobody was talking about spirituality. It was very much at the time of like hustle culture and like the peak of hustle culture.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Here we are. Yeah. It's interesting because I feel like the world is just changing, like the conscious collective is changing. But for anyone listening that may not even be familiar with these terms, what is Human Design? Like, let's start at the basics, and then how would you explain Human Design if someone says, what is Human Design, Paige?
Essentially, it's your vehicle. It's your genetic makeup. It's the physiology and the psychology and the subconscious. It's your vehicle on this earth. And so it's your body graph, and it's made up of 9 chakras, and it's made up of ghost particles and genes and proteins, and they all have energetic correlations. And essentially, it's made up of 5 different systems synthesized together into one system. What we have done differently, because we have been studying and using Human Design practically in all areas of life and focused heavily on the deconditioning process, is we don't really follow the Human Design is essentially owned by Jovian Archive and Jovian. And so we aren't super in alignment with the way that they teach Human Design and the way that they offer Human Design. So at Undefined, we've kind of just taken everything we've known and created our own technology and our own methodology and our own terminology. So in the Human Design system, so if you Google Human Design, you'll put your birthday in and it will pull up your body graph. That's still a part of what we do, but it will also tell you 5 types. So immediately it puts you in a box. Immediately. And so the 5 types are going to be a manifestor, manifesting generator, projector, and a reflector. Those types are made up of those 9 centers. So we just talk about the centers mostly, and in a very specific way. So that's what you'll find. You'll find, when you look up human design, you'll find your type, and then you'll find your strategy, which kind of tells you how to make things happen, which is kind of the opposite of what we want you to be doing. We want you to allow things to happen. And we teach you how to do that. And then the authority, which is how you make your decisions. And so we do talk about authority, but just in a different context. So we do human design just differently. It's more simplified, it's more practical, and it's more relatable.
I love that. Now, for anyone listening and feels like they've just been put in that box, right? Like that box, right?
Yeah.
Can we, I feel like I know your answer, but I'm going to ask for the audience. Can we, like, once we have this blueprint of our human design, can we change the way we are, or are we made that way for a reason? Or is it good to know the way we are and then adapt and adjust?
It's good to know the way we've been. It's good to know the way we've been. And it's good to allow, it's good sometimes knowing the types is really beneficial. It's really beneficial for the acceptance part of everything. When I found out about my type, it made sense. I accepted certain parts of me that I hadn't before. So there's that. The issue we get into is that a lot of the people that are teaching it or doing these readings don't have that liminal thinking. They don't have this neutral perspective. They don't have an abundance mindset. They're coming from a place of, I felt limited. I want you to feel limited too. This is my experience and things like that. So there's nothing wrong with understanding your type, but I believe that you can be whoever you want to be, and no matter what your type is, and we can be different types at all times because we're absorbing energies from everybody else around us. And we're absorbing the energy from the sun and the moon and all of these at different times. Those make us different types every day.
I love that you said energy, because I want to dive right in. You said something so valid and profound. I think it was like weeks ago, as you always do, but this was like, it was specifically about sending a text to a guy or to anyone for the validation for the hit.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. I was like, there's an energy in that moment, in that exchange. So let's talk about manifestation and energy, because I know you manifest a lot in your life. So for anyone who's just starting to understand this verbiage, what is manifestation? Or what does it mean to you?
I mean, we are always manifesting. So like everything you look around is made manifest. It's actually not something that you like try to do. It's something we are manifesting. It's an action. It's happening all the time. So, and I just did a TikTok about this. I'm like, the fact that people are like, yeah, I manifested this man, or I manifested this text back, but this thing happened to me that's outside of my control. This person hurt me. I'm like, oh, but you didn't manifest that experience. You only manifest the good experiences. That's just not true. And when we come to acceptance of that, and we take full responsibility for our thoughts and our acceptance of things and our rejection of things and our attraction of things and the mirrors that we're creating for ourselves in our lives can change. And so I think that for me, that's how I've used human design, is to know who I've been, right? And to see who I've been up to this point, and then to look at my human design and be like, now, how does it compare to who I'm here to be? Mm-hmm. Like, if I looked at my body graph, I could look at it and say, well, this is my highest potential, right? And if my highest potential is very confident, strong, boundaried, bold, says what she wants, has compassion, but is emotionally, you know, is emotionally wise. And I'm over here being a complete doormat and people pleasing and being insecure, then something's wrong, right? I'm literally being the exact opposite of what this body graph says I have the potential to be. And that's kind of how I've used it. I've just used it to decondition. And again, like Eden has written about this, and I've said this before, that we limit the universe. That's what we can be whatever we want to be. Our human design is actually helps us create a focus for all of that potential. Because if we can create anything in the entire world, what do we want to create? So for me, using my human design is like, okay, let's just start here. Let's start with the confidence. Let's start with the security. Let's start with the emotional maturity. Let's start with this. And then if I get to the ultimate optimum version of myself, maybe I want something different. And to me, that's what human design is for, is to give the universe boundaries, to give the universe direction and focus, to give us focus in our energy management and like what can we can create, what can, you know, what it's that for me. And so for me, manifesting is just something we've been doing every day, all day. The way that I teach it is how do we take command of that?
That's powerful, because, and I think you brought that to my awareness when I would watch your stuff, you say things and I'm like, oh, that makes sense. So especially in dating, like, let's talk about confidence. Mm-hmm. I feel like most people, specifically, I want to say feminine energy or woman, we have this programming, because, you know, the man's the one who proposes, that we want the guy to like us. We want to be picked. Sure. We want to be chosen. But you kind of helped me reshape that in an interesting way. It's like, if I'm the creator of my life, what guy fits into my world and the world that I'm creating for myself, not the other way around. So, and I think that's a big energy shift for anyone to process, because I've been trying to explain that to my girlfriend. So for anyone listening, how can they make that shift and understand that kind of energy first, like especially women, you know, talk about, you know, I'm a single mom. You were a single mom. Mm-hmm. How can we make that shift to understand our energy, like energy first, create using your energy? Like, how do they start? Yeah. Like, how do they play with energy to understand that they're creating?
Well, first and foremost, like, the feminine chooses the man energetically. And so if you aren't feeling chosen by any man, then you haven't chosen the type of man that you want, or haven't gotten. Yeah. You haven't chosen, because you don't believe that you're worthy of the type of man that you want, or that you're ready for the type of man that you want, or that you could handle the type of man that you want, or that he would choose you and all of that. And so for me, such a massive and fun part of the manifestation process is actually the refinement process. It's the, well, I think I want this, so I'm going to start here. And then I end up calling that into my life. And then I'm like, this isn't what I want. You know what I mean? Or yeah, just like that refinement process. I did a TikTok about, like, I have really great men in my life, but they just weren't, like, one just wasn't enthusiastic about going down on women in general and me. And I'm like, I don't understand that at all, because that's literally everybody's favorite thing to do. So, you know what I mean? So I was like, well, now I want somebody. So now I'm clear that yes, they can be great. They can be devoted. They can be strong. They can be all these things. And if they aren't enthusiastic about, like, going down on me or worshiping me, then I don't want it. And it's that refinement process. It doesn't make him bad or good, or it's about not settling, right? It's about refining. It's not about perfection, because perfection isn't a place we ever get to, but it is about refinement. So I think the process for me has always been noticing how I'm feeling. So our feelings, and it's funny, we spend all day trying to avoid our feelings, but our feelings are like the most potent and powerful thing to manifestation and creating, because they are action signals. They're telling us when things are not right, when things are off, like, look here. And so if you're feeling frustrated a lot, or you're feeling like disappointed a lot or embarrassed a lot, that is, or you just discomfort in general, if you're feeling that a lot while dating, or you're feeling that a lot while just being out in the world, it's literally your body saying, hey, something's not right. Can you please just take a second here? What do I want? Mm. And so that's what changed everything for me. I remember having a coach, her name is Leslie Trabagnier, life-changing. I would be like, I would be complaining about a man, and I would say, I just want him to text me back. And she's like, what do you want? I'm like, I want him to text me back. She goes, remove him from the situation. What do you want? I'm like, I want to feel wanted. I want to feel connection. I want to feel excited. She shifted the focus right back on me. And so then it was like, it became a practice, right? Of like, what do I want? And so constantly asking myself, well, what am I trying to experience here? What do I want? Decentering other people, like kind of looking at other people as pieces, players in the game of life, right? But this is my game. Like it's my game. You're playing, and you know, when you're playing a video game, it's my game. And yes, there are other people that are playing and they're playing their own game. And somehow we're all playing it together, but it's my game. And it just wouldn't be fun if other people weren't in it. And if people are in the game to show me how I can be better and how I can refine my process and how I can, you know what I mean? But they don't really ultimately matter to my game other than to develop me as a character and a player. And so that's kind of how I started looking at men. Kind of objectifying them, and just refining the process. So again, like I just talk about taking full responsibility and kind of asking myself, well, if he's a disappointment, if I continuously get disappointed by men, and if I'm continuously rejected by men, that makes me what? A disappointed person, right? A rejected person, a humiliated person. That's who I am. Because that's my identity. If that's what keeps happening to me over and over and over again, then I have been telling myself that's who I am. And so then that's who I have to attract into my life in order to uphold this identity that I've built my whole entire life. If a man came in and accepted me, but my identity is that of somebody who's disappointed, I would friend zone him immediately because that does not uphold the identity that I have. So I had to change my identity to be a match for what it is and who it is that I wanted. So I knew what I wanted. Again, going back to step one, you got to know what you want. And then you got to become the person and build that self-concept that has that. And so that means I couldn't be a person who was disappointed anymore. I had to remove disappointment from my vocabulary and from my experience. So I stopped getting disappointed about things. It doesn't happen. I don't feel disappointed anymore. I removed it first from my vocabulary. So it's not even in my experience. Even if I felt like something close to disappointment, I wouldn't label it that. I removed rejection, which is a whole process, right? It's an emotional thing. It's an energetic thing to be able to remove these experiences. But essentially, any time that I would start to feel rejected, I would give myself a moment. I'd breathe into the discomfort. I never say avoid feelings. I say go right into them, because if you go into them, they're gone in 3 seconds. But if I just breathe into it and I'm feeling rejected, I would immediately shift my focus to where I am accepted, or finding a way to accept myself, or better yet, accept this man. No matter what he's doing to me, how can I find acceptance here? And then the rejection just dissipates. So I created more of those experiences. And I basically had to be low-key delusional. And so even though I was experiencing disappointing behavior from men, I just kept telling myself, on top of doing the nervous system work and the energetic work, I just kept telling myself over and over and over again that I am. Men are devoted to me. Men are accepted to me. Men worship me. Men accept me. Men choose me. I choose me. I'm a chosen woman. I'm a chosen woman. I'm a worshiped woman. I'm a woman who is adored. And then I did those things for myself. Like I chose myself in the moments. I accepted myself. I worshiped and adored myself before that was in my physical reality.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I feel like, oh, there was so much to unpack. I'm like, yes. Mm-hmm. I was like, where do we start? So for starters, I think that's so important for anyone listening. If you're in situations where you feel rejected, or you feel anxious, or you feel unwanted, for me and learning from you, I wasn't even clear on what I wanted. So I was accepting what is currently happening.
Yeah. Whatever's in front of you. And it's like, that's not intentional, and that's not being a creator. And you know that. And that's not powerful. And you know that. And so also something to ask yourself, and this is also very powerful because it puts the focus back on you, is this the first time that I've felt this way? So if it's not the first time, then it's the second time. And anything that happens two times or more is a pattern. It's not that person.
And it's also a choice.
It's a choice to keep accepting the behavior, and not changing the story and the narrative and the pattern, right? That's your pattern. They had to show up and behave this way. Now, I want to differentiate between, I take responsibility for my own patterns, which means it's my responsibility to shift it, right? And to make different choices and better and more healthy choices. I don't take responsibility for their behavior and the choices that they made. So if he cheats on me, that's my pattern of being cheated on, period, right? But he also chose to cheat on me. And so kind of my, the situation, how I would handle this, like literally like giving everybody a process is, he's cheating on me. I feel humiliated. I feel disappointed. And then I ask myself, is this the first time that I've ever felt this way? No. Well, then it's a pattern. When did the pattern start? It started when I was like 10. So this person is just showing up and doing this pattern. How then I go in and, you know, go through my process and I shift the pattern for myself. And then I would have the conversation with the person. Person, I entered into this relationship from a place of not loving myself. And because I entered this relationship from a place of not really loving, accepting myself, or even having this awareness of this pattern, I accept responsibility for this pattern. And because I'm in a place that I love myself now and I'm aware of the pattern, I don't know that this is what I would choose for myself now. That's, so do you see how I'm not blaming them and I'm not making them wrong for cheating on me? I'm just saying, I don't know that I'm going to be in this relationship anymore because I started it from a place of, I needed somebody to cheat on me so I could feel this thing. And now that I have no desire to feel this way anymore because I'm healed and I'm healing and I love myself and I choose myself, da, 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 da. I don't think that this version of me chooses to be in this relationship anymore. I love you. I accept you. And I release you.
You know, something I learned recently, you know, the balance of our feminine and masculine energy. So for me personally, I wound up in a toxic situation and it wasn't toxic because if it was, he wasn't toxic. We both became toxic. Together. Mm-hmm. And what happened in that situation was I entered the situation from lack of self-love and my feminine turned fully on. Like I expected him to lead the whole situation. Now, that was already an imbalance because my masculine energy was shut off. So I wasn't doing any logical thinking. I wasn't, you know, the logical thinking would have told me like, hey, this is just not a good situation for you to be in. Right. Yeah. So anytime we go into these situations, we do have to take full responsibility, you know, and even when it's not that he cheated, but a situation happened. I mean, we weren't officially together. A situation happened where there was someone else involved or a few other people involved. And in the beginning, I wanted to blame him. But when I sat in the feelings like you talk about, and I said, well, going into it energetically, you knew it was either going to happen or you, like, I knew that was going
to
happen.
You ignored it. There was a moment where you had to have known because you're so smart and intuitive and powerful. But you ignored it because we do that sometimes to people please.
And to get what we want, mm-hmm. that validation that because when there's lack of self-love, those text messages for women are a form of validation. You know, I have girlfriends now who are dating and when a guy doesn't text them, they're in panic. I'm like, if you went into full creator mode, and you wouldn't even notice the guy's not text. Like you wouldn't even energy. You wouldn't even give him energy because you're co-creating your own world and your king will appear. Now, with that being said, let's dive into that because I know. Can we discuss your recent manifestation? Because I have.
This would be the first time publicly, really. Yeah.
Because I know you recently manifested your king and I'm in a space of, I guess you could say there's a few people in my life. And because I'm creating my world, they're energetically in the field. And I think for any woman, it's important to know, you will know when your king shows up. So how did you know that this was your king if there's a few in the field?
For me, it was... it was more my body. Like I'm so used to anxiety and stress and just emotional roller coasters with men. And, this is going to sound weird, but I actually felt nothing. I felt I wasn't like overly attracted to him. I wasn't overly excited about him. I was just like, yeah, this is right. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, this is right. This feels calm. This feels good. This feels peaceful. It felt different than I'd ever felt before, but it wasn't like this big grandiose emotion. It was like almost emotionless. And that's actually how I knew that it was correct, because I was peaceful and I was calm and I wasn't on this emotional roller coaster. That, and like, I had orgasms with him that I had never had before. So my body was very much like, had chosen him. My body was like, we feel safe with him. We know how much he loves us. He worships us. Like, I mean, I don't even know how to explain it, but it was just, it just feels correct. There's like no feeling about it. If that makes sense. It's almost like if there's somebody in your field where, and traditionally I probably would have put him in the friend zone because of that. I'd have been like, oh, there's no spark, but like the sex was incredible. But other than that, there wasn't like a spark, and he doesn't, you know, like, he didn't look like all of my ex-boyfriends, but like good, because they all sucked. You know what I mean? Like, and I struggled, and this is another thing. I struggled with this. I struggled with that. I was dysregulated because my body had never felt this amount of calm, this amount of care, this amount of love, this amount of devotion, this amount of adoration, this amount of orgasms, this amount of refined energy. And so my body started to dysregulate. I started to emotionally eat. I was drinking more. I was doing all my coping mechanisms from like November to December. Well, technically we meant December. So December into January. And so that's kind of how I knew. It was just completely different experience in my body. And he treated me the way that I had been treating me for the last 4 to 6 months. And he was saying to me the things that I had been saying to me for the last 4 to 6 months. And he also, I had post-it notes of every attribute that I wanted. And he was all of them minus the height, because, and this is why this is important, I had decided prior to that, like, that wasn't going to be a stipulation for me. Taller than me was my like new thing. I used to have like a 6 foot, all my ex-husband's 6'4". All my boyfriends are like 6'3", 6'4". And so I was like, I just thought that that's what I wanted. But really the sex is better with men that are not 6 foot and over, because they have to like develop a personality. Men that are 6 foot and over tend to just rely on the fact that they're tall. They yes. do.
I'm going to say something. I won't say what celebrity, but there's a celebrity that I've heard is the laziest person in bed, because he's a celebrity. So I think it goes the same thing with certain tall men. It's like, I'm tall, please me. So it's funny that you say that. Interestingly enough, though, when we think about manifesting, and something you just said, which is so important, Our nervous system is so programmed. Ugh. Those butterflies.
I've been working for years for this moment. Like, if you haven't started, ladies, you need to start.
Let's talk about that, because I used to think the butterflies, anxiety was like,
it's literally anxiety.
It's literally anxiety. It's your body saying like, oh my God, this energy is just like, there's something. And here's the thing, because I'm very woo-woo. I don't know how woo-woo you want to get, but I'm going to go woo-woo on you.
Yeah.
I believe in energy, right? So if there's an anxiety or an anxious energy coming at me, there's already an energetic disconnect of frequency. Yeah. And we think it's butterflies. So what is it? Like we know it's anxiety, but let's dive deeper into it. To really simplify that,
which is my favorite thing to do, is anxiety is expectations. It's actually the same as excitement, right? It's actually the same energy, just a different frequency of the same energy. And so you can shift anxiety to excitement really, really quickly if you wanted to. But the problem is most women actually don't want to, because their body is used to the anxiety. They're seeking the anxiety. They don't know life without anxiety. They have anxiety disorders, or they're like, they've been calm for a lot too long and now they need that anxiety in their life. So it's really, anxiety is the expectation. So we've got expectation there. We can dive into that, break that one down. We have expectation of an unfavorable outcome. So you like this man because you fucking know that he's going to cheat on you. You know he's going to hurt you. You know the experience that you're going to get because you've had it before, because it's your pattern. And mm-hmm. so your body would rather have the certainty of disappointment, of rejection, of hurt, of betrayal, of abandonment, than the uncertain feeling and frequency of excitement, acceptance, possibility, devotion, worship, adoration, being chosen. That's all very uncertain because that's not what you've experienced previously. So it's your body saying, there's something that we expect that's going to happen that's going to be unfavorable, right? But you want it. And so a simple thing to do is to go in and be like, okay, well, what do you actually expect to happen? Not what do you want to happen? You wouldn't feel anxious if you didn't expect something to happen, like him not to answer the text message or him to ghost you. Like, you definitely expect that to happen, or you wouldn't get so excited when he texts you back.
And I think that's so powerful because I think we, just as a generation, a society, even men, I feel, do this too. Like, if they know, if they get anxiety or butterflies about a girl, they think that there's something about her yep. that's going to break their heart because, you know, it goes back to parenting, you know, like, you know, if we come from, and it doesn't have to be a dysfunctional family. And, you know, everyone thinks if you're not from a dysfunctional family, your nervous system's not glitching out. No, all of our nervous right. systems are.
No, I have a, my family is perfectly functional and on paper.
But are, you know, same, right? But my nervous system still has glitches. So I too was very comfortable with that. Oh, he gives me butterflies and I'm anxious and what's going to happen mm-hmm. here. And it took me a long time to process and understand I wasn't fully healed. And in understanding, like you said, how you chose your king, like mm-hmm. I have to get comfortable in the peace, in the acceptance. Right. And interestingly enough, there's one
part that causes anxiety, by the way. Like, you still get to experience anxiety. Don't worry. Because it still gives me anxiety.
I become passive aggressive. So there's someone in my life, and because he's so peaceful, I try to, like, you know, glitch out and, like, be passive, and he stays calm. And I'm like, shit, I just love him so much because look, I'm glitching out and he's holding space. Like, yeah. It takes a lot to get over that glitch, right? And I'm curious to know, when you were, before you chose your king, did you have those moments of anxiety where you glitched out on him too and he had to hold space?
Oh yeah. I mean, I just did it the other night. Like, he's been doing it since we met. Like, he's been holding the space since we've met because he's like, I'm not going, because I refuse to be his girlfriend. Because he knew, again, it goes back to, like, I chose him, my body chose him, and then he chose me, right? And so he had chosen, and he was dedicated, and he was devoted from the, like, the jump. So he wasn't like, I want you to be my girlfriend. He's just like, I don't want to sleep with anybody else. And I don't want, like, I want to focus my energy on you. And so he had actually chosen before we met. We had both chosen to be celibate and to not put our energy into anybody that we didn't have a connection with and that didn't have the attributes of what we wanted. We had just done it different times. His was like February, and I had literally 3 hours before I met him done it. God's like, oh, we don't need all that, Paige. Like, that's okay. We just need you to make the decision. We don't need you to actually be celibate. What did he, well, first off, he moved here, by the way. I don't know. Yeah. So he just moved here from Austin, and I don't know. I, like, had a few drinks the other night, which is when your subconscious loves to come up and play. And I was like, he'd be like, I love you. And I'm like, you don't love me. Like, you don't love me. Like, da, da, da. And it's like, he's like, are you kidding me? I just uprooted my entire life and I just moved to Ohio to be with you. Obviously to go on tour with this band too, but, like, maybe that doesn't pan out. I'm still in Ohio. Like, it's for you and the kids and to do this thing and to build this life. And I still was, like, poking, you know, and I wouldn't be his girlfriend forever. It seems like forever, but, like, it was just me. And I was like, well, this isn't logical. We haven't known each other that long. We met December 18th, guys. So we met December 18th. And I was flying to Austin every time I didn't have the kids. And, you know, it doesn't make logical sense. And it's actually not that smart if you really think about it. But it's, I felt really, there wasn't this like Tom and Pammy excite, or Pam and Tommy like excitement, like we're going to get married tomorrow. It was just, this feels right. You know, this is obviously the next thing. This makes sense. But it, in my logical Virgo brain, I'm like, the fuck, Paige? Like, you literally decided to be his girlfriend on Saturday and he moved here. He was here by next Friday.
Well, to make you feel better, my parents got married after 2 weeks of knowing each other.
And you know,
for so long.
I believe it's possible. I just haven't had good experiences with my, like, me being impulsive, but I don't feel like this was impulsive. And I think that I've actually been really cautious because of the kids. But it just shows like what a king he is. Cause he just held so much space. He's like, I'm not going anywhere. He's like, I'm obviously not going to let you walk all over me. And he's like, I'm definitely not going to be here forever. If you, you know what I mean? If you can't make a decision, I don't want to be with a woman that can't make a decision. You know, that's not attractive. Da, 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 da. So, but he held space and he didn't force me. And he was devoted to my feeling safe and secure, which is me living here with my kids. Like, I feel unsafe and I'm not close to my kids. So he uprooted everything to help me uphold that feeling of safety. So I, he doesn't make me feel safe. He holds me in my safety. He holds the container for my safety, if that makes sense. He protects my safety. He protects my feelings, but he doesn't give me those feelings.
I want to talk about the word container because I think that's a huge part of, I guess we call it sacred union. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you did that. You created a container for yourself and mm-hmm. entered, right? So I think conscious dating or creating this sacred union comes down to you intentionally going into the container first, or creating a container of your life first, and energetically then someone has to come in, which is kind of what I'm playing in now. And it's interesting because when I think of a sacred union now, like before, if someone would piss me off, I, you know, want to break up with them, or I'm a runner by nature. I will run. I will block you. I will freak out. You know, even one of the guys I'm in, my currently, I have a few around the container, but there's one that I've blocked him before. And the last time he literally said, you are not blocking me ever.
Yeah.
Again. I was like, oh crap. Like, you know, so I think that now, as we step into the container, I'm curious to hear, because you're in the container now with your union. Are you so intentional that there's almost no, like, you're in it completely and you're reprogramming your nervous system mm-hmm. to fit the current container, and mm-hmm. you're kind of like all in, like, the old me would have ran.
I made a decision and that's what happens when I make a decision. I made that decision on Saturday because I knew, because I felt stuck and I thought it was like the company and the business, you know what I mean? Like, things would happen, then they would go. And I'm like, it's not that, it's that I haven't made a decision somewhere in my life. Anytime I'm just kind of like waffling, or I'm waiting for something to happen and then I'll make the decision. Because that is so like, just not powerful. And it's not how I move through the world. So I always feel when I'm doing that. And so I was like, I've not made a decision around him or about this thing. And it was like, what I was waiting for was to see what he was going to do. Right. Not with me, but like, he's 28, he'll be 29 in May. So he's younger than me and he's a musician. And he's starting a business. It's like this amazing business, but it's like, maybe I was just going to wait to see like how that went, you know what I mean? Before I decided that I was going to be in a relationship with him, or just to see how certain things would go before I decided. And then I was like, that's not how that works. Like, I have to choose to be in it with him. I have to choose to intentionally build something and create. And then from there, that's how it works. You know what I mean?
I want to take that to manifestation.
Okay.
I want to bring that back to manifest. That's powerful. So I think that's what a lot of people do. We wait. It's like we sit there and we have these thoughts, we're manifesting, right? But that manifestation is outside of ourselves because we haven't actually made the choice. And I feel like we wait for it to show up in reality first to them be like, oh yeah, that's the thing, right? So someone, you know, I had someone, and I deal with energy clients a lot, and I had one client, and she didn't know what next step to take. And her method was, I'm going to see what shows up. I was like, no, you're going to make the decision and it'll show up.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to be calling in nothingness.
This is what I want. And sometimes it's hard to say what you want because it's different than what's in front of you, right? Mm-hmm. And so I knew what I wanted in a partner, and I especially, let's just say, I always knew I'd be with a musician. I always knew I'd be with a headlining like musician that was touring, you know what I mean? And that was his whole life. And that was going to be our life, would be on tours and traveling and things like that. And so I had met this musician who's literally brilliant and is a star 100%, but it hadn't like manifested his reality yet. And so I was deciding I was going to wait. Like once he's got that, once he's there, you know, then I'll know, then I get what I want. Like, this is what I want. But that Saturday I was like, no, I'm going to choose that he is that person. I'm going to choose that I am that person. I'm going to choose that this is our life. And I don't know how it's going to pan, the how is going to pan out, but I'm choosing that it's done. And I mean, I know you watched probably my stories and like how this all unfolded, but essentially like Wednesday of that decision, an Ohio band, they're from Ohio, but they're like mainstream, and posted, and my assistant randomly saw this. She never sees posts from this member of this band. She's been following them for like 8 years, that they were looking for a guitar player and a bassist in the Midwest. Well, he's not in the Midwest, but I am. And so they tagged him in it, or she tagged him in it. They had a conversation. Essentially, they were like, yeah, man, we want you. And so, you know, within days of me creating this situation, just deciding that this was who I am, this is who I am, and this is who I'm with. Now he has to conform to be that. Does that make sense? Or I'm not. He's going to conform to be what I see him as and the life that I speak over him. If I see him as a headlining musician, a lead guitar player, a singer, making millions of dollars, doing what he loves, plus having a business. If I see that, and that's all I speak over him, and I don't accept anything other than that as a reality. I see it. I'm like, you know, we're not there yet, but I don't speak anything other than that. I don't see that for him. Then he has to become that. And it's not even saying you have to become that. It's like, I'm the wife of a fucking headlining lead guitar player. That's just who the fuck I am. And that's how I live my life. And I behave as such. And this is how I'm treated. And this is who I am. And then I see him becoming that. Then that's what has to happen. Mm-hmm. But that's all energetic, right? And so it did. It started to unfold. And of course there've been hangups because it's our energy and his energy and their energy all trying to create like something right now. But we just look at that as such a fun process. Like he and I are like constantly like just building, recreating and refining. And like, do you even want to be with this type of band? Do you want to be this type of band? Because in our head, it's already done. You're already this like headbanding musician. It's like, do we want to be in a band like this? Mm-hmm. So it's not like, I hope the band takes me. It's do I even want this band? Is this what I want? You know what I mean? Like, what kind of band are you in? Or what kind of musician are you in? And that's been what's been happening since I've decided. And he made a decision that day on that Wednesday. He quit his job because he was done with, like, he just felt in his bones that he had to quit his job. And he just quit his job, walked off the yard, checked his phone, and had a message from the lead singer of this band.
I love this so much for so many reasons. But for anyone listening, that's the power of the decision. Yeah. When you decide, the universe conspires in your favor. And I literally have goosebumps as you're saying this because I'm in a struggle where I've never said this publicly, but whatever. There's one man in my life who is already established, mm-hmm. and there's another one who's on the way. But every time I decide the direction or the feeling I want, the one who isn't fully established yet energetically kind of steps up, and then we have like an energy or a conversation, and my subconscious or my energy is like, look, you made the decision and he's awakening. And I'm like, oh, and then I struggle between do I go with the one who established himself, or do I co-create with the one that I decided on and who's stepping up? So that's kind of where I'm at. I don't know if you want to help me live here.
Yes. And so I believe that there are earth kings, right? That just haven't, like, how can he be a king without a queen? You know, so I think we do it together. Now, this is not dragging a man up with you. Every time he has made all of the decisions he has made. And anytime something needed to happen, he fucking made it happen. He's showing up. He's doing the thing. So it's not like me being like, hey, babe, I think you should do this. I think you should do that. I think you should do this. It's not me creating that. And it's not me leading. It's me guiding and like being a, like a shield as the woman is. And like, he will come and ask me for advice. Like he calls me Sage or Paige the Sage. He's like, he just comes to me like an oracle, as a priestess, as he sees me as. And he's like, this is what I'm feeling. He's like, this is what I think I should do. What do you think? Mm. But he's always going to do what he thinks he should do. And I think ultimately I'll have ultimate veto. You know what I mean? Like, should I, shouldn't I? I think I do. You know what I mean? But that hasn't been spoken. But ultimately he's going to do, he trusts himself. And I think that there's a difference again than you building a man. I'm not building him. I'm a queen. He's a king. He is just a man that's also been born, it's born inside of the patriarchy and born inside of this like inverted model of what feminine masculine is, who's figuring it out without a ton of guidance because there isn't a lot of, you know, resources out there. That's all. That's how I view him as. And I, again, it's not my job. I don't exhaust any energy trying to figure out his shit for him. I'm just like, what do you want? How do you want to feel? I feel that. I see you as that. Let's hold that frequency. But that's his decision. That's his responsibility. He's doing all the things he needs to do.
That's important, because I feel like that's how you know if that's your king. If you as the feminine in the energy field want this experience, if he can step into it on his own, the universe is showing you like he can, he's capable versus.
I just say what I want. I just say what I want and how I feel. And he is like, okay.
You and know, it's almost unspoken, you know, even when we turned on the podcast, my mic wasn't on, or my prop wasn't on for a second. But it's so true. Like I never, this specific one, I never direct him unless he asks, but energetically I feel him stepping into it. And then he does. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, that's interesting. So
it's fun to watch.
It's fun to watch. And I get goosebumps every time he comes through the conversation and he's like,
Stick with that one because of those fun experience. Like you get to still have this like fun experience, but like, it's funny. I think you're experiencing the same thing I've experienced. And like, I will tell, sometimes I'll slip and I'll be like, I think you should do this thing. Or have you thought about this thing? He's like, yeah, I just did it. Like, I just thought about it. I'm like, I don't even know why I waste my breath. You know what I mean? Because like, he's already knows what to do. Already in the process of doing it because we're in alignment. And this goes back to what I think the first time we talked about you wanting to do this interview, kind of, oh, I think we talked on wisdom or something and I got cut off.
Divine timing.
I don't even have conversations with him. I just have conversations with God. And instead of being like, I think he should do this thing this way, I just go to God and I'm like, God, this is what I want. This is what I want to feel. This is what I want to see. And then I see him doing that thing or telling me how excited he is about that thing. I don't even have that conversation with him. That to me is what the feminine does, because she's in such deep connection and communion with God that's what she does, is she just sees her man being the highest version of himself. And you know, she speaks life into him. And then he does the thing, or, you know, let God do what God does.
Then he
does the thing and you're just like, oh, I love that. I love like watching you do that. And he's thanked me, Jackie. He's like, he goes, I just want to thank you for letting me lead. He's like every situation I've ever been in, I didn't realize that how much I wanted to lead. And he's like, every time I've tried to lead in relationships and anything else, he's like, I got shut down. I got made fun of. I got pushed aside. And he's like, not only do you want me to, like, you create space for it. You don't like make these decisions like you know, and he thanked me. Like, they see it. And they honor that. I mean, I get like honored.
Conscious men see it. Conscious.
Yeah, I don't, you know? I get rewarded.
I've been in situations where I was attempting to do that because it wasn't king energy, yeah, or conscious
if
energy.
They're not there yet. They won't.
They, you know, one person was like, you're used to being chased. I'm like, it's not about chasing. I'm connecting to God. And if you don't have this experience and if you're not aligned, yeah, you're going to think I'm chasing you, but you're conscious. God's like showing me like, this is just out of alignment. You know, like it's just out of alignment. It's not the chase. It's just, I'm not going to tell you what I need you to do. Like you said, I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to have a conversation, yeah, with God, source, energy, divine mother, any term someone's comfortable with. And I'm going to say, this is what I want. And if you can't become or step into, then you're not the energy that is receptive to what I just ordered.
Yeah. There wasn't a day that I didn't speak to him and that he didn't contact me and that he wasn't persistent in us being in contact and us moving this thing forward. There was not one single day. So I didn't even like register that he was chasing me. I was just like, you just feel at ease. Like you don't, I didn't worry about him texting me or not texting me. I just knew he was going to text me. And that consistency and that knowing can feel boring or like not exciting, right? Because you're so used to being ghosted or not texted back, but there just isn't a day that I haven't, that I've had to question his feelings and that he's got leadership. Like there's just no ego. There's just no ego.
But that's because you removed your ego. Like, I think, mm-hmm, that's also important, right?
Yeah.
I think there was a time where I was in toxic positivity. Like,
yeah.
When I first got into spirituality, I was like a know-it-all. Like, I'm like, I'm so spiritual. I know everything. And then everything was going wrong. I'm like, why is this happening? It's because, you know, divine mother, source, God was like, you know everything. Oh, I will take that and figure that out. I was like, whoa, yeah. I'm just ducking and weaving. And then I had an ego death. And when I had an ego death, I was like, okay, like you have to play at the level of alignment, not of I'm better than, because you're never better than source.
No, and everybody is source. I just use my ego. All I look at ego, again, I have to like simplify everything. Ego is like a little lawyer that is going to bet, that is going to defend any belief that you have about yourself or another person and your identity. And so it's not that my ego died. Like I wouldn't be alive if I didn't have my ego. I'd just be floating because I just learned how to manage it and direct it. Like if I'm going to be strong-willed and egoic, let me be strong-willed and egoic about my lovability and my desirability and my compassion and all these, like, let me change my beliefs about myself and then use my very strong ego to uphold those beliefs. And so not trying to be better in the relationship, or I just realized I used men a lot to avoid being a disappointment. So I would make them the disappointment. I'm like, you have to be the disappointment because I refuse to be the disappointment. So they had to be disappointing me constantly. And it's like me removing the need to be, again, disappointed or feel any of those things. And I'm still trying to disappoint him. You know what I mean? Like, I think like I'm still sometimes anticipating him being disappointed in me, but that's just my old programming.
What does your intuition feel like to you? Because I know some people have a hard time connecting with their intuition. For me, I think intuition is the inner voice you start arguing, that lawyer starts arguing against. But what is it like to you?
Yeah, it feels like this relationship. So it feels really calm and peaceful, and it's just a knowing. But it doesn't usually make logical sense for me. It's in my gut, and it's usually not even super visceral. So when I was leaving Austin, the weekend before I met him, I was with my kids in Austin for work. And as I was leaving Austin, my body was sad, right? It was like, I don't want to leave. Like, I feel like I should come back. Like my brain was like, just come back next weekend when you don't have the kids. And then my conscious brain, or like my ego, is like, bitch, you just spent all this money to be here this weekend and you're go home. And like, you know, like, why are you coming back here? You literally have no friends here. You don't know any men here. Like you don't have anything here. Why are you doing that? My body had been telling me for 2 years to go to Austin, and I had been, yeah. And so then I went back that next weekend, and my friend Jason from California, I thought maybe it was to hang out with him. I was like, oh, you know, like, let's just explore that. So I went with Jason to get a drink, but he had to do some stuff at Mind Valley the next day. So he didn't stay out. And I was like, okay, let me just go back to my hotel. Like, I wasn't a big drinker. Like, I wasn't like a thing that I was going to be doing that weekend. And I had just decided to be celibate. So I definitely wasn't like going hunting for men. So I was walking into my hotel and the voice again was like, no, you're not done. Like, you know, you can have like one more drink and like, go just sit by yourself. Like, just, you know, you're not done. You're not ready to go home. So I walked up the hill to the right, and the place that I was thinking about going was a gay bar, because I wanted to go somewhere that I wasn't going to be hit on, because I didn't want to deal with men. Right. So I'm going, it's closed. And the valets were like, that's never closed. It's Friday night. I'm like, it's closed. And so they're like, there's a dive bar down there that plays metal music. And I heard the metal music and I was like, metal, because those men are not going to hit on me. Like, I'm not their scene. They're there for the music, you know? And I walked into that bar that night and his band was headlining. And he did in fact come up to me. It took an hour because he had seen me a few times and he was like, oh, like he wanted to, but he's like, she doesn't look like she really wants anybody to bother her. But finally some other stuff happened and he was like, nobody's come up to you the whole time. And that was that.
Isn't it powerful that our body, that intuition navigates us, and we just
so like calm. It was so calm. It was like, you need to go back to Austin. And I was like, okay. And then my brain was like, no. And then it was like, you need to go back to the hotel. You're not going to go out in Austin by yourself. What are you doing? Like, that's irresponsible. That's reckless. My body was like, it's fine. We're going. And so I've just trusted that calmness. And so that's why I trust this relationship, because it feels like my intuition.
Mm.
Like, it feels correct and right and not emotional.
That's interesting, because, you know, from me, my body's been asking me to travel or do Costa Rica for also like either a year or two. And yeah. I've logically, I was like, have a son. I can't take my son and pick up and go. But then my intuition's like, if you really wanted to, my intuition like comes back. It's like, if you really wanted to, I'm like, okay. So I think in the next few months, you know, very few people know, but I may start traveling in the next few months because my intuition's like, girl, you gotta go. You gotta go. And, you know, and I love that you felt that too, but you answered it. Whereas my intuition's like, hello.
it took 2 years and it took me being like, well, it doesn't make sense. Like, how would you live both places? But it was like, you got to go and you got to go a lot. You know what I mean? You got to go a few times. And you could live there and like, you could have the kid, like the way our parenting is, it could work. Like, just getting in the liminal thinking and in that space of how can it work versus it's not going to. And then when I neutralize, and like when I'm really in my body and I don't have emotions about it, I just listen to it and it's like, mm-hmm. He's an mm-hmm. Like, my vagina loves him, obviously. Like, I always trust her ultimate say, you know what I mean? And so then I don't have big emotions about it.
Yeah. And that's powerful. So what would you, knowing everything you know now, tell your younger self, younger Paige?
This question always gets me, because it's like, if I tell her anything, then she's not going to do everything the way that she did it. And then
that's also good.
We wouldn't be here. But what I would tell her is trust yourself, do everything the way that you're going to do it, you know, and know that through all the mistakes, they're exactly what need to be happening. You know, she knew, like, that version of me knew. So it's like, I don't know if I would tell her anything. What I would just do is, as this version of myself, love her more.
Oh, wow.
Be kinder to her, be more graceful with her through those mistakes, through those struggles, through those decisions. Yeah, that definitely is what I would do. I would just treat her differently. I would just have more grace with her. But I wouldn't change anything.
I love it so much, because it is that compassion. Like, you know, I made a joke with one of my friends the other day. It was, you know, our exes are not our type anymore. And it's not a diss. It's to say, wow, like, once upon a time I was in that place and now I'm here. And to have compassion, understanding for your expansion. So
finding love for them has been such a healing process for me. And that has what has catapulted me here is I genuinely just love and wish the best for every single one of them. And I am so grateful for everything I went through with them. They played a role that I wouldn't even wanted to play.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that, how much they loved me to show up and be a villain because I needed them to be, to protect and provide for me in that way, because that was the contract and that's what they knew I needed on some energetic level. Like, that's masculine. Like, I can, even when they're behaving outwardly as little boys and as princes and men that are not awake, I can go out of my way and find the ways that they protected me and provided for me, even if that provision wasn't the way that I wanted it. Mm. You know, they taught me the lessons that helped me get here. And every single one of them has been happy for me.
That's
a little disappointed probably, but also happy for me.
You know, you said contract and I was like, oh my God, I was gearing towards then, but I want to jump into the contract before we close. You know, I went through a contract recently and you said that where the contract was for me to take a look at myself versus think that he's the villain, even though I wanted him to be the villain so bad. I was like, it's his fault. But then when I processed the spiritual connection and spoke to a few spiritual mentors, he came into my life to show me where I needed healing.
Yep.
And I see how he did honor me in his decisions, right? Because he could have, if he was really a villain, he would have made worse choices with me. You know,
he would have treated you differently. He would have, you know, he would have treated you like he treated the other girls. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Oh yeah. No, he didn't disrespect. None of them fully disrespected me. And even though I didn't like how they behaved, I would prefer the treatment that they gave me over the treatment in which they gave those women. So
my soul contract, and I'll say it on the air, he didn't even want to, I don't want to say use me, but he knew the kind of caliber of man he is. He knew he has a thing for sleeping with women. And with me, he didn't even want to do that. Like he, and I love him now for that. I don't know if you'll hear this or not, probably not, but he loved me enough to protect me from himself.
That's 100% what they've all done. And I can find the beauty in that. And even the ones that have been like low key abusive, that's still kind of their way of like pushing me away. So they like, you know, that from that place, it's from that space and that energy, which you will attract the one, because you're honoring and loving, and accepting of men. And from that place of loving, honoring, accepting of men, and then also yourself through that, you will attract a man who loves, honors, and accepts you outwardly in the way that you want it to. I just kept saying to myself, I'm like, this isn't how I want to be protected. This is how I want to be provided for. But it's like, just have what you're getting, right? What right now, have it, appreciate, accept it. And you will receive it from a person that is ready to give it to you. And like, you also have to remember, I just kept telling myself this, you know, God's raising the dead, you know, he's moving mountains right now. It's not going to happen overnight. Like there are shackles need to be broken still. And so for all I know, this man, I don't want to rush the process of this man still has to go through XYZ. And he always says, he's like, I just so grateful I didn't meet you 6 months sooner. I would have fucked this up.
Yeah. And that's the process in itself. If you meet someone and they're in a space, you cannot force it, because then you're taking yourself out of alignment because you're trying to align with their journey when you might be steps ahead.
Yep.
It's powerful, powerful.
Yeah. And just that, like I said, just having that acceptance of them and where they're at, and your person will be ready for you when you are ready. And if they appear not to be ready, then that's not your person yet. And like, keep focusing on what you do want and seeing yourself having the relationship that you do want and not settling for anything other than, and refining the process along the way. You know, this man could literally show up and be like 90% of what you want, but you deserve 100% of what you want. And you get to question what you want, right? You could be like, do I really want them to be tall? You know what I mean? Like, like, is that really important to me? But once you get really clear about what's important to you and like that, and you hold true to that standard, he will be that and more. Like, there are things about him I'm just like, I didn't ask for this, but thank you, God.
And that's the thing I really want to emphasize on before being so clear. Like, I feel like if you can close your eyes and envision your life, and I don't mean just the visual, I mean the frequency, the energy of how you want your life to feel. Like, I wake up every day in the frequency of the life I want. And my life over the past 5 years has started to morph into that, because that's the energy, right? So for anyone wanting a relationship, you're not just going to meet people and, oh, this may work, this may not, because you're now fitting and forcing things because you haven't even found out your energy. So close your eyes if you're listening to this podcast or after this podcast. Close your eyes and imagine how you want to feel in your container.
I will give you a trick. And again, simplify it for you, because I didn't have, we need reference points. Mm-hmm. It's much easier to manifest if we have reference points. And so I didn't have a lot of reference points for the man that I wanted. So I took bits and pieces. So I took a little bit of Justin Bieber, how he treats Haley and mm-hmm. how he feels about Haley. I took a little bit of Travis and Courtney, cause I really like that dynamic and I love the music aspect of it and like the style aspect of it. I took a lot of Gomez Adams and how he treats Morticia and like his drama and like his, like, he doesn't just say things. He like says them in like a lot of words, very colorful in his words, and how he treats her and how their dynamic is. And that's what I use when I would visualize. I visualize myself as those women in that experience with that man. So I could experience it, cause I didn't have it before. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you, I got all of it down to, I never talked about it other than on my podcast, and he didn't follow me on social media. He had been using Gomez Adams as his male archetype because he loved his dad, but his dad was not the kind of man he wanted to be in relationship with women, but he worshiped and wanted to be like Gomez Adams, and he wanted a Morticia. And so I about peed myself when he told me that, because I was like, that has been one of the people that I've been using to manifest my person. And obviously he's a musician, and obviously he worships the ground I walk on, and he treats me as such. So like, I got all three of those things, but at first I didn't believe they were possible because I'd never seen them before. So I had to like literally visualize with those reference points.
I love that. I do that with Aubrey Marcus and Vailana.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I want that.
It's important to, again, you can take bits and pieces of what you like, what you don't like, but like, even with Travis and Courtney, he's extremely affectionate. And like, he will like, it makes me uncomfortable sometimes. I'm like, we are in public. You cannot be like,
like
down my throat.
Travis and Courtney in Italy.
When yes, like, just with like messaging the ex. In the middle of a damn like restaurant, but he doesn't care. He's like, I love you. And I want to be like on top of you literally all the time. And just the way he speaks to me is a lot like how Justin speaks of Haley, just thinks that she's the greatest thing. And, you know, Gomez Adams, like even the way he talks, like the way he compliments me is not, you look pretty today. It's like, I love your highlighter. Like your eyes look like a dragon death blue today. And it makes me want to da da da. And like, he'll go write a song about it. You know what I mean? Just like so dramatic. But not one person of those held all of those traits. So you can use multiple people. And we call those possibilities. So sometimes you'll see people in your life like that are making a lot of money or that have the relationship, and you can't see, you're like, ugh, like I can't stand them, or like they trigger you. They're most likely a possibility for you. They're actually meant for you to look at the parts that you do like, and like maybe you do want that in your life.
That's important, because I feel like sometimes we look at someone who's more successful and we completely disregard the seasons they had to go through to get there. Right now we're just like,
and we have all these stories about how they did it. And it's like,
yeah. And it's like, why don't you just lean into that and be like, you know what? I can do that too. And then go into unconditional neutral energy, which, you know, I think Divine Mother, I say this, I think Divine Mother likes the neutral energy, because then she could surprise you with that thing or that relationship,
oh,
or that opportunity that you want. Cause like, imagine, you know, we have kids, imagine our kids sitting there like, okay, where's my gift? And you're like, I'm not going to give it to you with that attitude. Like, that's not the attitude I'm going to give.
It comes in when you're completely neutral about it, because you get that, you get to be delighted. My favorite phrase, and we can probably end on this, is really great. But like, when I see somebody that has something that I want, and maybe I feel triggered at first, I stop and I thank God for them. Like, thank you, God, for giving that person that thing. Like, I'm so happy for them. So I say, thank you, Sky Daddy. That's for me too. That's what I say. I'm like, thank you, Sky Daddy. That's for me too. Or thank you, God. That's for me too.
I love that so much. And with that being said, I want to thank you and Sky Daddy for bringing you to the show. Paige, before we go, tell everyone where they could find you on social media.
Yeah. So my personal is I am Paige Michelle on TikTok and Instagram. My website is thepaigemichelle.com. And then you can learn more about human design and everything we're building at undefinedxdesign.com.
Thank you so much for doing this with me, Paige.
Thanks for having me.